In John chapter 5 and verse 6, we find another of the questions asked by the Lord Jesus Christ. We read that when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? Wilt thou be made whole? The timing of the chapter is around the time of the annual feast of the Passover, one of the great feasts in the Jewish calendar, celebrated by one and all, and people would come from all over the country down to Jerusalem to observe the feast. But on this particular day, instead of finding the Lord Jesus in the temple, we find him in an area known rather as Bethesda, a place near the sheep market, having five porches, and we're told that there's a pool of water in the vicinity called the Pool of Bethesda. And it's there that the Lord Jesus makes his way on that day. And we find around him, as usual, a great multitude. But out of the multitude, our attention is drawn to one particular man. So we might say that this message is about the man and the master and the miracle that he performs. Now, we don't know very much about this man. We aren't given his name. John simply refers to him as the impotent man. What we do know is that his days were spent lying at the side of the Pool of Bethesda, wishing that by some miracle his body might be healed and his life transformed. This impotent man believed that a miracle could take place in this pool. It was believed that in verse 4 that when an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water, that whosoever then first after the troubling of the water stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. And so he waited, and he waited, and he waited. However, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to where this man is waiting for a poolside miracle, and only this time he's going to be healed without getting wet. And the story reminds us that the Lord Jesus has the ability to meet us at the very point of our need and to overcome those things that are overcoming us. Now, what's interesting is before the Lord Jesus intervened in the life of this man, he asked him a question. It's a rather interesting question there in verse 6. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to be made whole? That's a good question for us. Do you want to be made whole? We all have things in our lives that hinder us and keep us from the life that God wants us to live. Are we willing to deal with those things? Are we willing to give up those sinful pleasures to allow the Lord Jesus to deal with those things and enable us to be the person that God intends us to be? Are we willing for that change to take place? This story of the poolside miracle reminds us that the Lord Jesus Christ is willing to make us whole. The question is, wilt thou be made whole? Are we willing? So I want us to follow the Lord in this story and watch him as he changes the life of this man. And so there are three things that I want us to observe from our text this afternoon. I want you to notice firstly where it is that the Lord Jesus Christ went. The opening verse of John chapter 5 tells us that Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Nothing unusual there. However, the next couple of verses tells us specifically where he went to in the city. And we can learn a great deal about the Saviour by observing him and the places that he went to. The Lord Jesus always travelled with a purpose. He never just wandered aimlessly. He always had something in mind whenever he chose to go in a particular direction. For instance, if you read chapter 4, you were told of how the Lord Jesus must go through Samaria. Why? Well, because there's a well in Samaria that he wants to travel to. And while the disciples are off searching for bread and for food, the Savior will wait at that well for a woman of Samaria to come and draw water. And as he comes, he speaks to her and brings to her the water of life. He came with a purpose. When the Savior went to Zacchaeus' house, he went along with that crooked little man in order to change him and to turn that tax collector into a child of God. We read of other times when the Savior went to the temple in order to run out those that were abusing God's house and making it into a place of merchandise. When he went to the tomb of Lazarus, it was so that he might raise the dead. You get the point that I make? Everywhere the Lord Jesus went, he went there specifically and for a reason. Now we're told in this passage that he went to the sheep market, to a particular pool, the porch of Bethesda, where a multitude of people were gathering looking for healing. So we find the Lord Jesus going to where the hurting people are to be found. It's probably a pool, a natural spring. For some reason, either superstition or otherwise, it's not quite clear, but it was believed that the pool had some miraculous healing properties. And for that reason, John tells us that people with all kinds of sicknesses and diseases crowded around the pool, hoping to be the one who would be healed next. So we're told in verse 3 that in these porches lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water. So I find it interesting that when the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem, that he didn't go to the temple so he could rub shoulders with the religious leaders, that he didn't go to Herod's palace so that he might meet the king, nor did he go to the Roman governor's house in order to get in with the local politicians and the power players. No, when he came to the city of Jerusalem, he went to the place where the hurting people had assembled themselves together. He went to be amongst those whose lives were difficult and whose hearts were broken. Of course, we're not surprised by this. The Lord Jesus, in his own testimony in Luke 19 and verse 10, said that the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he came. Matthew 9 and verse 12, he said to the Pharisees that they that be whole need not a physician, but they that are sick. And so the Lord Jesus went to the place where the sick and the broken people lay waiting. You know, contrary to what many believe, the Lord Jesus is not looking for perfect people. Rather, he's seeking for those who are hurting, that he might make them whole. And so he comes to the pool of Bethesda, and amongst those porches we find lying there a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, waiting for the moving of the water. Not only are they hurting, but they're helpless. John describes those who gather around the pool as being impotent folk. The word impotent simply means without strength, someone without power. The Lord Jesus has come in the midst of those who could not help themselves. They were powerless against the things that afflicted them, their sicknesses, their diseases, whatever it was that was holding them back. Now that's a wonderful picture of humanity at large. It describes you and I better than we realize. It may not be that we're physically handicapped, but spiritually we certainly are. It's a good description of our spiritual condition. We are powerless before God to change who we are and what we are in His sight. In fact, the same word that's translated impotent here in verse 3 is found a little bit later in the scriptures in Romans chapter 5 and verse 6. And there it says that when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. And just like those who lay around the pool without strength, blind and halt and withered, waiting for the moving of the water, as lost sinners we cannot get to God. Our own strength cannot carry us there. We are crippled and hampered by our sinful nature. Yet when God entered into this world in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, He came to us because we could not come to Him. That's what we find happening here. The Lord Jesus going to those who need Him most. He came to this world on a search and rescue mission to seek and to save that which was lost. He went to those who could not come to Him. He went to those who were hurting and helpless and hopeless of themselves. So where He went is really quite special. He went to the pool of Bethesda. Now, notice secondly, not only where Jesus went, but what He wondered. Let's look back at our text and pick up the story again. In verse 5, we're told of a certain man that was there, which had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, He saith unto him, Wilt thou be made whole? He comes with a question. Are you willing to be made whole? Amongst all the sick and the lame bodies littering the side of the pool that day, one man in particular caught the eye of the Lord Jesus Christ. And looking at him, the Saviour, knowing that he'd been there for a long time, knowing something of that painful backstory that he had, that had been his life, knowing everything there was to know about this man, He comes and He asks him a question. Wilt thou be made whole? Do you want to be made well again? Now, at first glance, it seems quite a foolish question. What sick person doesn't want to be made well? And yet, as we meditate upon the question, we realize that it's actually a very good question. He's asking this man if he was ready for the change that the Lord Jesus could bring into his life. It might seem obvious to us that this man would be eager to be healed, but in reality, not everyone is willing to change or be changed. There are some that, after years of battling with their condition, actually grow accustomed to it. They get used to their handicaps, their hindrances. It could be that after 38 years that this man no longer wanted to be made well. Maybe he wasn't ready for that change. Maybe he had just grown accustomed to who he was and what was happening to him and had made peace with it. Not everyone is ready for the change that the Lord Jesus will bring into their lives. They're satisfied with who they are. They're comfortable with their life, their hardships, their hang-ups, whatever they might be. Some even wear them as badges filled with pride as they look at their lives and think, well, I don't need to be changed. I'm happy with who I am. So it's not unreasonable that the Lord asked the question whether this man was willing to be changed or transformed. We might ask the same thing. Are we willing to be made whole? Are we willing to undergo the changes in our life and our personality that would be necessary if we are to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ? Or are we so tied to our sins and our sinful nature that we don't want to give them up? There's many a person confronted with the message of the gospel of peace with God and forgiveness of sin that look at their lives and they think, well, I'm not ready to give this up. I don't want to live the way that Christ would expect me to live. I want to live my life for the sinful pleasures of this world, and I intend to have my fill. Not everyone wants to be changed. And you certainly cannot help the person who doesn't want to help themselves. The Lord does not drag us kicking and screaming into his kingdom. He transforms our hearts and makes us willing. But until we are made willing, we are not ready for that change. Wilt thou be made whole? That's what the Saviour asked him. Are you ready for a change in your life? Well, if you are, will you respond to the command that I give? The impotent man answered him in verse 7, Sir, I have no man, when the water is troubled, to put me into the pool, but while I am coming, another steppeth down before me. So there seems to be an indication here of a desire to be changed. So Jesus said to him in verse 8, Rise up, take up thy bed, and walk. The Lord Jesus commands this man to do the very thing that he's been unable to do for 38 years. When he asked him the question, Wilt thou be made whole? He was not only questioning the man's readiness to change, but his willingness to comply with the Lord's command. Would this man obey the Saviour's command for his life? The Saviour's wondering about his faith as well as his will. Rise up, he said, take up your bed and walk. Are we willing to obey Christ's command to be made whole? Are we willing to do what he asks of us in order that we might overcome the very things that are holding us back? It might surprise you, but there are many times when those that are sick will go to the doctor and he prescribes them a certain course of medication that he tells them will completely cure their disease. But how many times the patient doesn't take the medication or doesn't take it the way that it was supposed to be taken? The medication only works, the cure only is made possible if we follow the instructions of the surgeon or of the physician and do exactly what they tell us. Some will never be made whole. Some will never experience that healthy Christian life because they're not willing to obey the commands of the Lord Jesus Christ. We must follow his commands explicitly. Rise, take up thy bed and walk. We see where Jesus went. We also get an insight into what Jesus wondered. Is this man ready to be made whole? Is he willing to obey what I tell him to do? And then we'll get into this thirdly, why Jesus works. It says in verse 9 that immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked, and on the same day was the Sabbath. The Lord Jesus had come to this helpless man. He asked him a question that had awakened his faith. He then performed a miracle, healing the man's body. And before we leave the story, I want you to consider why the Lord Jesus healed this man. Why does the Lord work in the lives of people? Why does he seek out those that are hurting and helpless and make them whole? I'll tell you the reason. It's so that we might praise God. I want you to look in verse 14. We come a little bit further in the story, and we find that afterward, Jesus findeth him in the temple. This man who had spent 38 years lying at the side of the pool of Bethesda, hoping for a miracle, having received a healing far greater than he could ever have imagined, upon his healing makes his way to the temple. Can you understand why this man would want to go to the temple? It seems rather obvious to me that he wants to give all the praise and the glory and the honour unto the Lord. That this miracle of transformation that has come to his life is God's doing and none other's. The Lord Jesus Christ has healed him and he wants to give praise to God. I suggest that's a natural reaction if the Lord does something wonderful in our lives. If he works a miracle on our behalf. If he heals our sicknesses, our diseases, if he takes away our sin. He does it so that we might bring praise to God, that we might glorify him with our lives. That's our purpose. We're saved unto the glory and honour of the Lord. When was the last time we thanked God for what he has done in our lives? When we've stopped a while to think of the salvation that he's given to us, the cleansing he's provided for us, the adoption into his family, the hope that we have for eternity to come. That we're so overcome with these thoughts that all we can do is praise God, to thank him for sending his son to be our Saviour. This man finds his way to the temple and begins to praise God. But you know, it's not just his words that are important. You'll notice that after the Lord Jesus found him in the temple, he gives some words of instruction to him. Jesus findeth him in the temple and said unto him, Behold, thou art made whole, sin no more, lest a worse thing come unto thee. So in other words, it's not just his words of praise that the Lord is looking, it's a life that's transformed that the Lord wants to see. Go and sin no more. The Saviour expects not only a change in his physical life, but in his spiritual life. The Lord has worked a miracle for this man, and now he expects him to go and to live for God. To go and live for God. Go and sin no more. Let your life be a testimony to the grace and goodness of God who has saved you, that you're seeking to live a life that honours him, distancing yourself from the sins of this world and living for him. We sometimes talk about practicing godliness. Today, too many want a Christianity that demands nothing from them, that allows them to live any way that they please and yet claim to be saved and going to heaven. Well, let me tell you, the Lord Jesus does not work in our lives to save us so that we might continue on that path that we were travelling previously. He wants to transform us. We often speak of repentance, which means a turning around. Once we were going this way, the Lord saved us, and now we're going the other way. Once we were on the road to hell, but now that Christ has saved us, we're on the way to heaven. Once we followed the course of this world, but now we're following God's way. Go and sin no more, the Saviour said. The old evangelist Vance Havner once said that God saved us to make us holy, not happy. Some experiences may not contribute to our happiness, but all can be made to contribute to our holiness. The Lord Jesus met this man at the point of his need. It happened to be beside a pool in Bethesda. And if the Lord can make a man whole beside a pool, then it's not beyond the realms of possibility that he could do the same for you and I right here today in his house, amongst his people, under his word. He comes with the same question. Wilt thou be made whole? Are you willing to let go of those old sinful things that hold you fast? Are you willing to live a new life in obedience to God and his word? Are you willing to do that? If we are, then he tells us to rise up and take up our beds and to walk. And may our lives be then filled with praise and filled with duty for the Lord, that we might not only speak of him, but live for him and be made whole by him. I trust that we will think upon these things, that we will hear through the voice of God's Spirit the same question being asked of us: wilt thou be made whole? I trust that our response will be, yes, Lord Jesus, make me perfectly whole. Take away my sin. Take away the desire for sin and the love for sin. And give me a heart like yours, that I might praise God my Father and live a life that's well pleasing before him. That not only might I rise up and take up my bed and walk, but I might do so for the glory of your name. That's how this man in John chapter 5 lived hereafter. Living for the glory of God. Made whole by the Savior. May we who have been saved experience the same thing that he did. A life transformed for the glory of the Savior. May the Lord help us to show forth that testimony of saving grace in our lives. By our praise, by our works, and by our following the Savior. May the Lord help us to do so. Amen.